to another edition of the weekly Fantasy Lounge podcast. Week one is over, so there's plenty of football news to talk about, as well as all you need to win your baseball league in the semifinal round. This week, Kevin and I will discuss two big baseball returns, a few huge football injuries, and a significant trade.
Start off in baseball, where Barry Bonds has been lighting the league on fire the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's really been hot since pretty much the end of August. He's got his average up to .263, and he has 24 home runs, which puts him at 732 all-time.
Yeah, he was actually just hitting in the 230s in the middle of August. Now he's hitting the 260s, so he's raised his average over 30 points in less than a month, so that's pretty good. And he's also got 5 home runs this month, and we've still got a whole half to go here, and some of even a little bit of October. So, you know, it just looked like earlier in the year there was no way that he was going to catch Aaron, and now there's a pretty good shot next year, at the end of next year, that he can catch him, whether it's on the Giants or some AL team playing DH. So,
from a fantasy standpoint, I think he's going to be a great pickup for a lot of teams. If your league counts on base percentage, this guy should definitely be on your team. He's going to help you out in runs. He's been knocking in some runs. He's even been hitting some home runs. He's hitting really well lately. In the last week or so, he's well over 300. He's definitely worth a pickup. He can be that boost you need here in the semifinals.
Yeah, I mean, his on-base percentage is still .459, which still is amazing for, his age, and still getting on a base like that's pretty amazing.
But we move on to two players who made their highly publicized comebacks this week. The first was Hideki Matsui, coming back from that horrific wrist injury. He collected 4 hits in his debut back from the DL.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see him back. He's one of my favorite players, and he's a nice option to pick up now in fantasy leagues. Like you said, he went 4-for-4 in his debut, and then he went hitless in the next game. But the interesting thing here is that he'll be hitting at the bottom of the Yankees lineup. In his first game, he hit 8th, and then last night he hit 7th. So, and he won't be playing left field. That'll be left to Melky Cabrera, and he'll be playing mostly DH the rest of the year. So, look out for that. But he should, put up decent numbers the rest of the way. I mean, we only got, 3 weeks till the season ends.
Less than 2 weeks in a couple days.
Yeah, so I'd pick him up if he's available.
I doubt that now, because I think a lot of people picked him up right before his injury. Obviously, if you see him out there, grab him. He is hitting .279. He even hit a home run yesterday. Anybody in the Yankees lineup, Kevin's grandma could play in the Yankees lineup, and she's going to score runs and knock in runs.
That's true.
So, he's going to be he's a pretty good boost for your playoff run, no matter what. Anybody you can drop is probably worth it. This is a stud, and people tend to forget that, but he can make a huge impact.
Yeah. Also coming back was Twins rookie phenom Francisco Liriano. However, his comeback wasn't really as merry as Matsui's.
Yeah, his start on Wednesday, he was looking pretty good, and then he left the game in the third inning. He said he felt pops in his elbow on the last 2 pitches, and Ron Gardenhire says he's going to be sat down for the whole year, and most likely he's going to need surgery in November.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer for the Twins. I mean, this kid's, 21, 22 years old. What's the sense of risking his career over, a month period for pitching? I mean, look, he was the AL Cy Young Award winner. If he was going to stay healthy, I mean, his ERA was almost at 2. Whip at 1, he over had 12 wins already, and it was just dominating the American League, and he's clearly the best pitcher there. And it's really a shame that he had to get hurt, but it's a good decision for the future for the Twins. And luckily, he won't have to have Tommy John surgery, because we all know how that ends, and that'll take at least a year to come back from, so that's good news.
I think this is interesting from a fantasy standpoint, because we see a guy that could come back next year and very well be a closer or a reliever. He could end up in the bullpen. I think that's a very real possibility. Not only that, you have to look at the other side. Where are people going to take him? His value obviously is going down because of this injury, and then it'll go even farther down if he's a reliever, but where do you draw the line? Because even if he starts out as a reliever, chances are, if he stays healthy, he could end up right back in that rotation, if the Twins need him. And, the Twins, historically, do poor the first half of the season, then they come back in the second half. So I think, you know, he's going to be a sleeper for next year in a sense that people are going to be taking him too low to what he's capable of. But then again, it's a pretty big risk because we don't really know where he's going to end up, what he's going to end up doing, you know, how he's going to come back from this injury.
Well, the key to his value is, can he stay healthy? And that's a big F with him because he's never thrown more than 117 innings in the minors, and he threw career 484 innings in the minors. And like I said, his career high was 117 innings. So, you know, he's thrown a ton of innings this year, and he's never done this before. So, I mean, and then you always see that with young pitchers. It seems like they break down at the end of the very end of the year, and they're shut down like Sauer was in Cleveland. Just, was it, what, Tuesday or Wednesday that he was shut down?
Yeah.
So, pitchers are, teams are being very conscientious of young pitchers' innings, which is a good thing.
There's also breaking news out of Boston that Manny Ramirez will miss the rest of the season and will miss this weekend for sure.
That's really, really a shame for the Yankees. They're going to sweep him now. But on the fantasy thing issue, you know, this is a big hit towards teams. I mean, you know, Manny...
Like myself?
Who cares? Manny still puts up numbers, biggest numbers. I mean, he's arguably, you know, the greatest right-handed hitter of our era. So, I mean, you know, he'll drives in runs like crazy every single year.
And he does
doing it again this year and was an MVP candidate, so...
He does it quietly. I mean, people don't realize the numbers that Manny puts up.
Well, I think Big Poppy is...
Yeah, he's playing
over
in his shadow, yeah, and I don't mean quietly shame, as in physically quietly, because we know Manny is definitely not quiet.
It's like,
kind
of like the T.O. of baseball in some ways.
But people don't realize that he hits 50 home runs a year and knocks in 130 runs. You know, this guy will end up one of the most prolific hitters in history, and people don't see that yet, but, you know, they will. But it's really a shame for a lot of fantasy teams that there's a possibility he could miss the rest of the year, you know. Got to start wondering if it's worth it just to drop him.
Well, yeah, I think you have to drop him now. I mean, this just came out, you know, an hour ago, so looks a good decision here might be to drop him. But we step away from fantasy for a moment to discuss MVP candidates of both leagues. Brandon, who is your NL MVP?
Well, I know the entire world is enamored with Ryan Howard, and, you know, that's the way it should be. He's, you know, he's having just a crazy year. But mine's got to be Albert Pujols. He's got his team in first place. He's got them there, you know, somewhat comfortably. He doesn't have a whole lot of hitting around him. He's basically carrying that team. It's not a great team. We've seen Cardinal teams in the past that have been very, very good, 100-game winning teams. This is not one of them. This is middle-of-the-road, borderline playoff team in the East. I mean, or in any of the AL leagues, this isn't a great team that's going to make a whole lot of noise in the playoffs, but Pujols has kept them afloat. I think there's four candidates, and there's really two that are serious. I think you can look at Soriano and Beltran, too, but the fact that Soriano's team isn't winning and that Beltran is only hitting in the 280s kind of hurts both of their chances, but, you know, for me, it's Pujols.
I might hate to say it, but I have to agree with you.
That shocks me because I know you're a Ryan Howard fanboy.
I am a big Ryan Howard fan, but here's the reason why I went with Pujols, and I think you already stated it. He did miss 3 weeks due to injury, and in several categories, he's not that far behind Howard. He has a higher average, higher on-base percentage, just as Pujols. More doubles and more runs scored than Howard, and, you know, the Phillies lineup might be even a little better than the Cardinals.
Oh, I think it is. The Cardinals have no Chase Utley. And Pujols is 11 home runs back. I mean, if he would have played
19 RBIs.
Yeah, he's 19 RBIs back. If he would have played those, 3 weeks he was out, he'd probably be tied with Ryan Howard and just about all the way across the board. And he's better average wise, and he's got his team in first. The Phillies are not in first, and chances are the Phillies aren't even going to make the playoffs. So, I think it's almost a no brainer. And I know other people are becoming enamored with Ryan Howard. And it's almost a shame because we forget the seasons that Soriano, he has 40 stolen bases. He's got, I mean, he's 39. He has 45 home runs. There's a possibility he could go 50-50. Pujols is hitting 320 with 120 runs batted and 45 home runs. People aren't going to remember that this year. They're, at the end of this offseason, in December, they're going to remember Ryan Howard, the 60 home run hitter. They're not going to remember anything else from this season as far as MVP candidates. That's really a shame.
I think the American public wants to see a figurehead where it looks like they appear to be clean, and so far from what we've heard and seen and everything, Howard's clean, but.
Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. Right. Nobody at the time thought they were on steroids. Right. So I think that's another discussion for another day, but, either way, nothing against Ryan Howard because he's doing amazing things. I don't think anybody really expected, but I think, Pujols has got to be the MVP here. I don't see any way around it.
But I agree.
In the AL, it's a tight race as well. Who you got there?
I got Jermaine Dye of the White Sox, and of course, this guy is a bigger surprise than Howard in a way that nobody expected this type of year from him. I mean, he's in over 300. He's got 41 home runs, 114 RBIs. I mean, he's just having an amazing year, and we know that the White Sox are chasing their playoff lives right now. I mean, they're a couple games behind the Tigers and beyond the Twins, so he's going to be a crucial part down the stretch for them to get in the playoffs once again and try to repeat as the champs.
The way I see it, I think in the AL, there's as many as six guys you could legitimately look at. You've got David Ortiz, Travis Hafner, Jermaine Dye, Derek Jeter, Joe Mauer, and Miguel Tejada. I think all of them are deserving. Sadly enough, I agree with you again, which is kind of scaring me now. I think Jeter is another great candidate, but the fact that he's got so much around him kind of hurts his value. Mauer, I don't know. I think he could just as easily win it as Dye. The 11 home runs and 78 RBIs kind of hurt him, but the .347 average in the Twins' late run, that's gonna sway some votes. Then you got like Miguel Tejada and Travis Hafner who are having, they're typical great seasons, but neither of their teams are anywhere near the playoffs. And then David Ortiz, same case. Even though he's probably putting the best power numbers in the AL out, he's got a relatively low average compared to the rest, and his team's not going to win the division or even go to the playoffs.
Well, Hafner's chances were hurt. I mean, he's out for the year now. So
well, yeah, but
he's
I think
he's got zero of a non-chance probably right now.
But you still have to look at him pre-injury because you can't just forget what he's done all year. I mean, setting that Grand Slam record and everything.
Yeah, but I think Ortiz this past week really hurt his chances when it was earlier this week or last week, I'm not sure, but when he spoke out against Jeter and that's not exactly a smart thing on his part if he wants to win MVP. I mean,
well, I don't think
his quotes, it appears to me that all he cares about is trying to win MVP and getting his personal stats up rather than winning games down the stretch.
Well, I don't think he really had a chance anyway once the whole team started to fall apart. I think the heart thing was really the end of the road for him. I think Jeter, Dye, and Mauer can each have a really strong case made for them, but I'm going to go with Dye just because he's never hit this well. I mean, 41 home runs and 114 RBIs, and the thing is, he's been consistent all year. He hasn't really gone on a major hot streak, and he hasn't really gone on a major cold streak, so I don't see... That's why I would pick him over Jeter or Mauer.
Yeah, I mean, Dye's only hit 300 over one time. It's pretty amazing. But we move to football, where we have some major injury news. Big Ben Roethlisberger had an emergency appendectomy last week. What's this picture looking like?
Well, contrary to some of these other ones we're going to talk about, relatively good. He practiced this week, and he's most likely going to play, along with Hines Ward. Both look like they're probable for Monday. So, definitely good news for Big Ben owners, Run of bad luck. You want to talk about a run of bad luck?
Yeah, he remains questionable, but I think that'll be upgraded to probable probably tomorrow. He looks like he's good to go. But of course, if he's not good to go, you got Charlie Bastrier, who played well in week one, surprisingly.
If you find out that, Big Ben's going to, if we find out that Big Ben's going to be out, Batch has some fantasy value. Look at his numbers last week. He put up some numbers.
Yeah. And he's like Big Ben in a way that he won't make mistakes. He just goes out there and does his job, won't make too many mistakes, and that's the great thing about that Steelers offense is they don't make too many mistakes, and that's why they won the championship last year.
Well, Steve Smith also missed last week. What's his status?
Well, it's not looking good for Steve Smith, the owners. I have him on one of my teams, and he hasn't practiced all week. So if I had a chance to sit him or start him, I'm going to sit him. I already sat him in one of my leagues, so it's not looking good. I mean, he's got that hamstring injury that's been nagging him all preseason long, all camp long, and now in parts of the regular season, so it's not looking good.
Well, let's not forget here, even if he suddenly became better tomorrow, he hasn't practiced in 2 weeks.
Right. I mean, how well can you expect a guy who hasn't practiced 2 weeks to play? I mean,
yeah,
you can't expect much from him.
It's tough for a guy to come off of a week with just 1 week with no practice to come out and perform at a high level. Obviously, the Panthers, they need this win with their disappointing loss last week, but I don't think they need it that bad.
Right.
Pretty sure he's going to be out, so, you know, hopefully he can start practicing soon and get out there for week three, but, you know, right now, it's not looking so good.
Well, it's kind of looking like right now like a bust as the number one wide receiver, but we'll have to wait and see. It's still early in the year. Out of Washington today, we hear that Clinton Portis will not play. He did not practice, and Coach Gibbs said he would not play him.
Yeah, this is pretty much breaking news. He hasn't practiced, so Coach Gibbs said if you don't practice, you don't play. And apparently Portis was a little bit surprised by the news, but, you know, what Coach says is what happens, so you heard it from the coach. If he's not going to play, I guess he's not going to play.
Yeah, it looked like just yesterday he was going to start.
Well, I mean, he played week one, and
he played pretty well.
He didn't get a whole lot of carries, but he didn't look bad.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe that he said after the game on Monday that the shoulder was really, really bothering him. So maybe it's just good for him to get a week off, but this means Liddell Betts gets to start this week again, so look for him in leagues if he's available, which he probably should be now, so look for him.
Also, another big update today, TJ Houshmandzadeh was downgraded to questionable, and chances are he's not going to play either. I mean, obviously he's questionable, but when you get downgraded on the Friday before your game, that's definitely not good news.
Yeah, he's probably not going to play. I don't think he played last week, did he? Or if he did, he played very little. So, I'd sit him. He should probably, well, on most of your teams, he should be a second or a third receiver. I mean, he had a great year last year to go along with Chad Johnson. So, sit him this week, like Portis. Trent Green left last week's game with a severe head injury. How's he doing?
Well, they're saying he's probably not going to play for the next two games. And the Chiefs have a game this week against the Broncos, and they have a bye. And then they come back against San Francisco and in week four, and then they play Arizona week five. So it's looking like he's going to sit out the Broncos game and the 49ers game and come back in week five, according to the Chiefs. Before, they were saying he would be back in week four after the bye week, so you know, it's a little far out to be looking at it. Either way, he's not playing this week, and obviously he won't play next week with a bye. So, either way, there's not a chance he plays before week four, but, you know, it was a bad injury, and we wish the best for him, but, you know.
Yeah, and if anybody saw that game, I mean, the hit was brutal. I mean, he was down for minutes at the time and looked really bad, and, you know,
there was no fine on the play either.
Yeah, that was a joke, and there was also no penalty. I mean, he was obviously headhunting on the play, and he should have been at least, you know, given a penalty and fine, but that didn't happen. He was released from the hospital on Tuesday, and like you said, he'll miss at least 2 weeks, but you never know with concussions. I mean, a concussion can last an entire year, so you never know.
And it could also heal up real well, and he could be back before people expect.
Right.
So
we'll see. And then Damon Huerter gets a start. He's only had 10 career touchdowns, so he doesn't have much playing experience. I mean, he was on the Patriots for I don't know how many years it was, for a couple years, and he had a little playing time over there, but that's about it. So he's not much of an option to look at. Expect LJ to get the ball even more than before.
Yeah, this is good news after a pretty crappy week from Larry Johnson. So, you know, maybe this brings him back up to that number one status.
Yeah, for the next couple weeks at least.
Also making news was the trade that brought Deion Branch to the Seahawks in exchange for a first-round draft pick. Looking back at the controversy that has surrounded the legality of Branch's actions, what's his fantasy outlook?
Well, I think his value goes down a little bit just for the simple fact that Seattle's just loaded at the receiving position. I mean, they got Daryl Jackson, Bobby Engram, and Nate Burleson. So
I think he has the ability to be a number two option there.
But we'll have to wait and see. I mean, there's not even a certainty that he's going to play this week. I mean, Holmgren hasn't said anything about the whole situation. So but if you have him this week, I think you lean to not starting him.
No, I'm not starting him in the league I own him. But I think the real fallout here comes with Ben Watson. He pretty much becomes that number one receiver in New England. And, you know, he has a chance to be right up there with Antonio Gates, you know, as a number one tight end after this year if he does live up to his expectations. And if the Patriots are going to go deep this year in the playoffs and win some games, they're going to have to establish a pass game. And Ben Watson might be key to that.
Yeah, I mean, who do the Patriots have? They got Rashay Caldwell and Tim Brown, and Tim Brown's 35 years old, and he's their so-called top receiver. So this means Watson's going to get the ball more, but I actually think the Patriots, from what I saw last week, they're going to run the ball more. And they got that two-headed monster in Lawrence Maroney and Corey Dillon, and
well, yeah,
they stacked up a ton of yards, 150, 160 yards on the running last week. So well, I'm not sure
they have a choice but to run the ball. True. But, you know, either way, a team doesn't go deep in the playoffs without somewhat of a balanced attack.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the total opposite of what they did last year is when they went, they didn't run the ball much because Corey Dillon was hurt and inconsistent, and they just threw the ball on every play, and Brady had his best year of his career last year, so kind of the total opposite of what happened last year.
Yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on. Now it's time for a new segment of our football edition of the show, our upcoming studs and duds. This week, Kevin and I will each state one stud and one dud who we project to live up to those respective names in week two. Kevin, who's your stud?
Well, you guys would really be shocked with my stud. I mean,
yeah, this was a tough one. Totally
shocked, and it's Peyton Manning. You might have heard of him.
Wow,
plays
great
for
choice.
The Indianapolis Colts quarterback. He plays against the Houston Texans, and let's be honest, the Houston Texans, in a word, are terrible. And they gave up over 400 yards last week, gave over 300 yards to Donovan McNabb alone. And Peyton's in his dome, and you know what type of numbers he'll put up there.
Right, and he came off a good win against his brother, so that's confidence.
So expect a big game from Peyton, like usual, on Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and the whole gang.
Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. My stud is Mark Bulger, playing the 49ers. The 49ers gave up 34 points last week against a pretty similar offense in Arizona, a strong passing attack, and a decent running game. 301 pass yards in that game. So I think Bulger bounces back this week after, you know, a pretty poor week last week as far as, you know, no touchdowns and not a huge yard total. I think he bounces back nicely against San Francisco.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, Denver has a pretty solid defense, and they gave Bulger and the Rams problems, but hey, the Rams still won, so that's good. And they play the 49ers this week, and we all know that the 49ers secondary struggles. And it struggled last week against the Cardinals, giving up big yards with Warner and Bolin and Fitzgerald and everything. So expect more of the same with Bulger. So I think I agree with him being a stud this week.
Now what about your dud?
Lamont Jordan of the Oakland Raiders.
I think any Raider is a dud.
God, they're terrible. But just breaking news, another breaking news story is that Robert Gallery will miss at least 2 to 3 weeks. So that hurts Jordan's value even more. And they're playing against the Baltimore Ravens defense. And
who, by the way, pitched a shutout last week.
That's not good news for the Raiders. I mean, they might get shut out again, and which would be quite funny to me. And who's your dud this week?
Well, mine is not as much of a dud as total production, just a dud in, you know, their relative numbers. I'm going to pick Edgerrin James against Seattle. They gave up 38 yards last week against a decent back, Kevin Jones, and they only gave up 6 points. Definitely that's not going to happen against the Cardinals. And I think Edge will probably have more than 38 yards, but I'm just going to say right here that I don't think he's going to be, you know, a 70-yard rusher this week. I don't think he's a complete dud. I think he's going to be heads and heels over Lamont Jordan. I just don't think he's going to be an Edgerrin James that people might expect him to be. So,
you looked at his numbers last week against the 49ers, and they didn't stick out at all.
No, they were decent. They were, right. They were decent, but, you know, I don't even think he's going to do that this week. I mean, 49ers are pretty poor all around, and Seahawks are a possible Super Bowl team. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, not if my Rams have anything to do with it. Well, but that's getting off topic. But, yeah, the Seattle defense has improved a lot over the last couple of years, so I agree with that as well. We also have a fantasy update. The semifinals have started where me and you are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, in baseball, you know, we failed to make the playoffs, so that's great.
In one semifinal, it's 5-4 Zach over D-Store, so at least our co-administrator there is representing us a little bit.
Someone's got to represent the staff. I mean, come on.
And then the other matchup, it's Panzram versus Anfield, and Panzram, same score, 5-4 Panzram. So sweetening it there.
At least it's a tight, you know, at least it's tight. I'm, you know, battling for that number one pick, even though I can't get it as close as I can.
Sounds like the Raiders.
Also, our first week in fantasy football has shown some winners and losers already. Jets fan, Kevin, Zach, Ifnabru, Lammers 27, and Enkarm all won, so.
Yeah, I mean, I barely beat, barely beat someone. I'm drawing a blank on who I beat. I beat Zach and
I believe it was D-Store.
It was D-Store. No, I did not. That was in the other league. That was in the competitive league with all the different sites. I barely beat Zach, and it was by like 0.75 points or something like that. It was crazy, but.
I barely lost in that league, too.
In this league, I put up, I kicked his butt this week. So, looking good.
I got
hopefully going to 2-0 this week.
I got my butt kicked by Zach. Thank you very much. Having a pretty harsh comeback to fantasy football.
Well, you're just,
0-2,
well,
you know?
You're just terrible at fantasy football and, well, just fantasy sports in general. Well, so.
Thank you. What's your fantasy rating on Yahoo?
That's what I thought.
All right.
Well, that's based on fantasy NASCAR, where I struggled in.
Well.
Why do I have a fantasy NASCAR team? I don't know.
Because you have no life.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, thanks for listening this week, and we'll see you on the boards. Don't forget to visit the news site at fantasyloungesports.com and read all of our articles. And send us questions for the mailbag at admin@fantasyloungeforums.com.
Take care, guys.